You know, I was looking at this survey of high school teachers recently, just trying to get a pulse on where the profession is at. And the number one burnout factor, it wasn't the pay, it wasn't even, the angry emails from parents.
Let me guess. It was the administration.
Surprisingly, no, it was what they're calling the entertainment gap.
The entertainment gap,
Yeah.
that sounds exhausting.
It is. I mean, think about it. A teacher is standing at the front of the room. They've got a whiteboard, a marker, maybe a PDF from like 2014, and they're trying to explain the complexities of, say, the French Revolution. Meanwhile, under the desk, every single student has a device connected to TikTok, YouTube, high-budget documentaries.
Influencers with million-dollar production team.
Exactly. It's an asymmetric war for attention, and the teacher is losing, and that is the tension we are exploring today. We're looking at a major player in the education space, op exams, and this piece of technology called Auto Content API. And the promise here is, well, it's pretty radical. It's the idea that we can take that teacher armed with just a PDF and give them a production studio that rivals Netflix.
It sounds like hyperbole, I know. But when you look at the documentation, and specifically the content transformation engine they've built, it might actually be the equalizer education has been waiting for.
So let's set the stage. On one side, we have op exams. If you work in education, you've probably heard of them. They're huge.
Oh, yeah, over 1,000 institutes in 85 countries.
Right. And they're the heavy lifters of the administrative side. Designing exams, grading paper tests, online quizzes. They make the logistics of testing so much easier. They're the infrastructure.
They are.
But then we have this other player, Auto Content API. And this is a beast of a different color. They pitch themselves as a content transformation engine.
Think of them as an industrial-grade factory for media. You feed it text, and it just spits out videos, podcasts, study guides. It's basically an automated production studio in an API call.
And today isn't just about comparing them, it's about connecting them. Because when I was combing through the Op Exams website, I noticed something really telling. They have this list of features, right? Online exams, check. Paper exams, check. But then there's this one tab, interactive lessons.
And let me guess what it says right next to it.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. That little phrase is doing a lot of heavy lifting.
It really is. And that's our mission today. We are going to explore why that tab is empty and how op exams can use Auto Content API to take that sticker off and, basically turn every teacher into a multimedia powerhouse.
It's the difference between testing students and actually teaching them. And what's fascinating here is that the technology to bridge that gap, this already exists. It's just a matter of plugging it in.
But before we get to the shiny AI features, we have to talk about why this hasn't happened yet. Why is that coming soon sticker so hard to peel off? Op Exams is a tech company. Surely they could have hired a few video editors.
It comes down to what the Auto Content white paper calls the production bottleneck.
Yeah.
And it's not a lack of effort, it's a math problem.
Okay, walk me through the math.
Okay, so let's say you want to make one high-quality 5-minute video lesson for a history class. Traditionally, you need a scriptwriter. You need a voice actor. You need an editor, stock footage licensing.
You're talking hundreds of dollars.
Oh, minimum. And that's for one video. Now, consider op exam scale. They add something like 50 new teachers a day. They cover thousands of subjects: physics, literature, ancient Greek, coding.
You can't hire a human team for all of that.
You can't. If you
Right.
try to build a Netflix for education using humans, you hit a wall of what they call linear costs.
Linear costs.
Meaning, for every new minute of content, you have to pay a human for an hour of work. To add more content, you have to hire more people. There is no leverage.
It doesn't scale. You'd bankrupt the company before you finish the curriculum for ninth grade alone.
Precisely. That is the bottleneck. The reason interactive lessons didn't exist is because they were economically impossible to produce at that kind of scale. Until now.
Okay, so this is where Auto Content API enters the chat. They claim to solve this cost problem. Their pitch is that you don't need to create content from scratch, you just need to transform it.
And that distinction is key. Content transformation. The teacher already has the source material, they have the textbook chapter, they have the PDF notes, they have the raw information.
They just need it to be something else.
Exactly. They need that PDF to stop being a PDF and start being a video or a podcast or a study guide.
So let's paint a picture here. I'm a history teacher. I'm teaching the French Revolution. I have this dense 10-page PDF summary. I upload it to Op Exams. Now, if Op Exams is running Auto Content API in the background, what happens?
Okay, so let's look at their explainer video endpoint. The API can scrape that text from the PDF. It identifies the key concepts, social inequality, economic hardship, the monarchy. Then it doesn't just summarize it, it strips it.
Okay, I have to play devil's advocate here. Well, it's good. Because we've all seen those janky AI videos where the hands are weird, the voice sounds like a GPS from 2005.
Right, and the images have nothing to do with the text.
Yeah. If I'm a student, I'm scrolling right past that.
That's a fair worry. But this is where the distinction between consumer AI and enterprise API really matters. Arto Content isn't just generating a talking head. It uses something they call visual intelligence.
Meaning what? Exactly.
Meaning the API reads your text, say,
yeah,
a paragraph about the storming of the Bastille.
Yeah.
It understands the context. So it doesn't just put a face on screen reading the text. It pulls relevant stock footage of castles, of crowds, historical paintings. It cuts the video dynamically.
So it's acting like a human editor. It knows when to show the speaker and when to show the, you know, the B-roll.
Exactly. It manages the pacing. And on the robot voice, the documentation highlights their native resynthesis. These aren't just text-to-speech readers anymore. They have prosody, breath, intonation.
So for a student scrolling on their phone, this stops looking like a lecture and starts looking like the content they actually consume.
That's the goal. Increase dwell time. Keep them watching. And for op exams, this immediately populates that interactive lesson feature with visual content that competes for attention without the teacher ever touching a camera.
But it's not just video. I was reading about the audio capabilities, and this part seemed even more ambitious. They're calling it the audio revolution.
Yes. This is where they position themselves as the enterprise alternative to tools like Google's Notebook LM.
Which we've seen people love those AI hosts chatting about documents. It's huge right now.
Right. But Arto Content takes that concept and makes it programmable. So back to your French Revolution PDF. The API can take that text and generate a deep dive style podcast.
Wait, kind of like what we're doing right now?
A little meta, isn't it? But yes, the API can take that same history textbook chapter and generate a multi-speaker conversation.
Why does multi-speaker matter, though? Why not just have one voice read the chapter like an audiobook?
Well, think about how you learn. If someone lectures at you for 20 minutes in a monotone, your brain just shuts off. It's passive.
But a conversation,
yeah,
a back and forth, it mimics the Socratic method.
Right, because one voice explains a concept and the other one can ask a clarifying question.
Exactly. And usually it's the exact question the student probably has in their head. It hooks the brain differently. It turns passive listening into active engagement.
That makes a lot of sense. So structurally, this allows op exams to offer something like audio study guides.
Imagine a student on the bus. They can't read a textbook. Maybe they get motion sickness or it's just inconvenient. But they can listen to a 10-minute podcast that reviews the key points before the test.
You're meeting the student where they live. They're already listening to audio. They're already scrolling video. If op exams can deliver the curriculum in those formats, that's a massive win. But I want to get a little technical for a second. Because if I'm op exams, video and audio are nice marketing fluff. But my business is exams. My business is grading. Does this help me there?
I was wondering that too. Is this just bells and whistles?
No. And this is the Blinkist moment for the tech-savvy listeners. The secret sauce isn't the video, it's the JSON.
The structured data. I saw that term in the source material, JSON output.
Right. JSON is just a standard data format that computers can read easily.
Mm.
When Arto Content processes that PDF, it doesn't just output an MP4 video file. It also outputs a structured JSON file containing the script, the timestamps, and this is crucial, quiz questions derived specifically from that script.
Okay, connect the dots for me. Why is that huge for op exams?
Because op exams is a grading engine. If a human makes a video, another human has to watch it and write quiz questions to check if the students understood it. That takes hours. Here, the API generates the lesson and the test simultaneously.
So they are perfectly synced. The quiz will never ask about something that wasn't in the video.
Exactly. It closes the loop. You get the teaching material and the assessment material in one API call. For a platform like op exams, that operational efficiency is probably worth more than the video itself because it unifies their entire product offering.
So the teacher clicks one button, generate lesson, and 5 minutes later, they have a whole multimedia package, video, audio, quiz ready to go.
That's the vision.
I want to pivot to something you mentioned earlier. Op exams isn't just a local tool. They're in 85 countries.
That is a massive footprint.
And 50 new teachers join every day. Now, I'm assuming not all of them speak English.
Definitely not. And language barriers are usually the single biggest hurdle for educational software. You can translate the interface, the buttons, and menus pretty easily. But translating the educational content itself, that's hard.
Especially if you're talking about video and audio, dubbing is expensive. You have to hire voice actors for every single language.
It used to be. But Auto Content API lists support for over 50 languages. And it's not just text translation, it's native resynthesis.
Native resynthesis? That sounds like sci-fi. What does it actually mean?
It means if an institute in the U.S. creates that French Revolution lesson in English, the API can programmatically transcribe it, translate it, and then generate a new Spanish audio track or a new Chinese video voiceover.
Instantly.
Pretty much. The documentation says they can launch Spanish and English versions on the same day.
That is huge for scaling. You're not just translating words, you're translating the whole teaching experience.
And doing it without hiring local content teams for every single region. That's the key efficiency. A great lesson created in India could be used by a teacher in Brazil, with the language barrier just completely removed by the API.
So we've got the what videos, podcasts, translations, but we have to talk about the how, specifically the money, because schools, while they aren't exactly known for having unlimited budgets.
No, they're not. And this is where we have to talk about the API-first architecture.
API-first. Break that down for the non-coders among us.
Think of it like a car. The API is the engine under the hood. OpExams is the dashboard and the steering wheel. The teacher using OpExams never sees the engine. They never see a login screen for Auto Content API. They never see a credit counter.
They just stay inside the OpExams dashboard. It's invisible infrastructure.
Exactly. But the economics are where the argument really solidifies. We need to look at what's called the long tail of content.
The long tail. Explain that concept in this context.
In media, you have blockbusters, right? If you're making a documentary about WWII, you can spend millions because millions will watch it.
Yeah.
But what about a lesson on, I don't know, advanced fluid dynamics for third-year engineers?
Tiny audience. Low budget.
Usually zero budget. That content stays as a boring PDF because you just can't justify the cost of a video team. But Auto Content changes the math.
Because the cost drops to what?
Around €4 per video. Or, you know, cents for a podcast.
€4 versus the $300 we talked about for manual production.
It's a 90%+ cost reduction. So suddenly it makes financial sense to have high production media for the tiniest, most obscure niche in the curriculum.
So previously, giving every teacher a video team was economically impossible. It would bankrupt the company.
Great.
But giving every teacher a generate video button that cost the platform €4, that's viable.
It's what they call radical efficiency. It democratizes high-quality education for every subject, not just the popular ones. And since OpExams charges for their service, they can bundle this cost. Upgrade to Pro for AI lesson generation. It becomes a value-add feature that pays for itself.
I want to zoom out a bit. We've focused heavily on the classroom features, but OpExams is also a business. They need to market themselves. They need to attract those 50 new teachers a day.
They do. And the Auto Content source material has a whole section on growth engines that applies here too.
I saw that programmatic SEO and blog to podcast.
It's a strategy. OpExams has a blog. They have documentation. The API can take those text posts and automatically turn them into podcasts.
So if I'm a busy administrator, I can listen to the OpExams blog on my drive home instead of reading it.
Exactly. It expands their reach. But there's also the deep research feature, which I think is fascinating for teachers.
Oh, this one looked cool. It's not just writing, it's researching.
Right. It uses agents to browse the live web. Imagine OpExams offers a feature for teachers called Topic Refresher.
Okay. How would that work?
A teacher types in, say, New Discoveries in Ancient Egyptian Archaeology 2025. The deep research agent scours the web, reads the latest academic papers, and synthesizes a briefing document.
Wow. So it helps the teacher stay current without them having to spend hours on Google Scholar.
And then using the transformation engine, it turns that briefing into a 5-minute audio summary, your morning briefing on archaeology.
That moves OpExams from being a tool you use after you teach for grading to a tool you use before you teach for prep. That's a sticky product.
And there was one other feature that I found equal parts fascinating and slightly terrifying. Voice cloning.
Ah, yes, the professor paradox.
We have to touch on this. Students want to hear from their professor. They want that connection. They trust that voice. But a professor can't record fresh audio lectures for every single little update.
So the professor records 1 minute of audio.
And the API creates a voice clone, a secure, high-quality replica. Then the professor can just type out updates, feedback, lesson supplements, and the system delivers it to the students in the professor's own voice.
Hey, class, don't forget the midterm is Tuesday, but it's generated instantly.
Or, great job on that essay, Sarah. personalized feedback at scale with the emotional connection of the human voice, but without the time cost.
It sounds like magic, but I imagine some people find that a little creepy.
It's a valid concern. But the reviews in the source material describe the voices as natural, steady, and believable. As the uncanny valley disappears, the utility of hearing your actual teacher's voice, rather than a generic robot, is going to be a huge selling point.
So let's bring it all back to OpExams. They are sitting on this interactive lessons, coming soon, promise.
And they have the user base, 1,000 institutes. They have the distribution.
If they integrate this, if they become the content creation powerhouse, what does that look like for the future of the platform?
It looks like a complete ecosystem. Right now, OpExams helps you check if a student learned. With this integration, OpExams helps the student learn in the first place.
It fills the gap.
It fills the gap.
Yeah.
And it does it by leveraging that production bottleneck. They solve the hardest problem for teachers creating engaging materials by automating it.
It's really shifting the burden from the human to the machine so the human can focus on, well, the students.
That's the ideal outcome of AI in education, right? It's not about replacing the teacher. It's about giving the teacher a production studio so they can compete for that attention we talked about in the beginning.
So what does this all mean for the future of learning?
You know, it raises a really provocative question for me. We've talked about cost. We've talked about efficiency. But I want to leave you with a thought about personalization. If the cost of creating a lesson drops to near zero, why do we need a standardized curriculum at all?
What do you mean?
Right now, every student gets the same textbook, because it's too expensive to write 30 different ones. But if OpExams can generate a podcast for the auditory learner, a video for the visual learner, and a game for the kinetic learner, all from the same source, instantly.
Then every student gets a custom-built education.
Exactly, a segment of one. OpExams stops being a place where you go to take a test and becomes a place where the curriculum adapts to you. And that technology is here. It's just waiting for someone to click integrate.
Well, I, for one, am ready for my personalized history podcast. This has been a fascinating look at how two platforms could collide to change the classroom. Thanks for taking the deep dive with us.
Always a pleasure to connect the dots.
And to everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.